This is Doug Miller. You know, there's an old saying among the Greeks, gray hair is only a sign of old age. Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time in the book of Job. And we are going to move ahead to chapter 32 today. We took up chapter 38 last time, and today we're going into chapter 32. We'll be introducing a new person. We haven't seen this guy up to now. His name, Elihu. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to chapter 32 of Job and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out, as far out as we can get it to, as many as we can get it out to. We do this in the sure and certain and confident knowledge that God has promised to bless his word. Doesn't promise to bless things that I say necessarily. Doesn't necessarily promise to put an amen to everything that I do. But he does promise to bless his word. It will not, going out from him, return to him void. It will accomplish that which he pleases. It will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. And those of you who are listening, and I don't care why you're listening, doesn't matter why you tuned in, the important thing is that you're going to be under the sound of the Word of God. And this Word is a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts both directions. It either cuts to salvation or it cuts to condemnation. So I think you are very blessed to be able to sit here and listen to this today, particularly if you pay heed to it and do what it says. Now, we are, of course, utterly and absolutely dependent in this ministry upon our interested listeners and the Lord's people. We have we're not a denominational base ministry. We are not sponsored by any organization other than Dialogue Ministries. And we are dependent upon the Lord's people. So please pray for Dialogue. I say this every week, and I say it because I mean it. Without the prayers of the saints, we are absolutely a zero. Nothing we can do. I can talk. It won't make any difference. So pray for us. And we would always be delighted to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to email, the email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Okay, we've got a web page. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. You can pull that up or down, whichever direction it pulls, and read about Dialogue and listen to the broadcasts. And if you would like to call, be glad to talk to you. But you will get a recording, and I'll have to get back to you. Our phone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. All right, preliminaries over. Let's get into the Word of God. chapter 32, verse 1. Now, I said at the first couple of things. This old Greek adage, gray hair is only the sign of old age. You know, it's interesting that the Greeks would have said that, because the Greeks were, of course, committed to this idea of wisdom, and they also had a veneration for older people, just as the Jews did. They respected their elders, and they urged respect for elders on the younger people. So they are not, this saying of theirs is not meant to denigrate old age, but it is meant to state the obvious. There are a lot of old fools out there. I say that kindly. I'm not directing it at any person. I'm just making an observation. There are a lot of people out there, and you know some and I know some, who no matter how long they've been around, they just haven't learned much. How many people do you know, for example, who are older, 70, 75, 80, and are not saved? I may be talking to someone out there who fits into this category. We have read in the book of Job, we read it in chapter 28, didn't we, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you are out there listening to me and you have no fear of God, no concern about God, whatever, I don't care how old you are not a wise person. You are downright ignorant, and it is a crying shame. And why would you, if you are indeed doing this, assume to give advice to anyone, particularly about anything spiritual? Now, you may have great knowledge about automobiles, airplanes, or what have you. But if you start talking about God and you are unsaved and you have never been born again, you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and been given over to Him and committed your life to Him, friends, let me tell you something. Whatever you think you know about God, you are deluding and deceiving yourself. You know nothing about Him, and it is high time you admitted to this simple fact. Now, we have got these three friends of Job. We've been looking at them for the last, 28 chapters or so of this book, and the advice that they've been giving Job, these are older men, and they simply don't know what they are talking about. They are out of their depth. They are out of their league. And they are talking, as you've heard me say on here before, platitudes. Yes, they know about God to some measure. Yes, they know that God is righteous. Yes, they know that humans are, are sinful and fall short and so on and so forth. Well, fine. But they don't know anything about Job or what Job is going through or why. Their assumptions that they know this are simply foolish. And what they have revealed over and over again about themselves is, let's see how to put this delicately, they are as dumb as a bag of hammers. That wasn't very delicate, was it? But I meant it. When it comes to the spiritual things and to the things of the Lord and to the Lord's dealings with people, they are dumb. Now we are going to get in 32 the entrance of a young man named Elihu, who makes it clear that he has been sitting here and listening to this exchange that has gone on between Job and his three friends. He has been sitting here silent. He has not so far opened his mouth. He has taken it in. He has waited. And now he is going to talk. And what he has to say goes way beyond anything that these three friends of Job have ever considered. And in fact, he is the one that the Lord uses to really enlighten Job. It is worth noting, and we'll see it when we get down to the end of this book. And we will get there sooner or later. Just be patient. At the end of the book of Job, you will take note that God has some very hard things to say about Job's three friends. He condemns them in no uncertain words. He does not condemn the young man Elihu. Elihu escapes the condemnation of God. I assume, and I hope that you are willing to make this assumption with me, that God does not condemn Elihu because he has nothing to condemn. Elihu essentially is telling the truth. Now, where does this young man get this? Where does it come from? Well, let me tell you something. If you are listening to me right now, and you are an older person and you are unsaved, or perhaps you're saved, perhaps you know that you're saved, and yet you are spiritually a novice. You know, when you get saved, it's not enough just to get saved if you wish to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what Peter writes at the end of his second letter, chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in grace. Peter is talking to believers. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would he say this to believers? Because believers need to do it. When you get saved, you are not just automatically a deep spiritual person and spiritually knowledgeable. You may be an immature person all of your life. I've met Christians who have admitted to this. I've met Christians, I guess they were Christians, they said they were. I have no reason to doubt them. Christians who have admitted to me they don't know anything about this book we're looking at. Well, some of them have been saved for years. If you don't know anything about this book and you've been saved for years, you couldn't possibly be able to help a man like Job. And for those of you who are unsaved, when it comes to anything spiritual, you are once again out of your depth. Now, some of you out there, I'm sure, will have had this experience. I certainly have. You may have run into young people who they had been saved, and they have, once they were saved, they started spending time with the Lord in prayer, in studying this book, in looking into it, in reading it. They have spent time in the presence of the Lord. Very interesting, you know, when the Sanhedrin, back in the book of Acts, dragged Peter and John in there in front of them to tell them to quit preaching in the name of Jesus. After they talked to Peter and John, there is something that it says about them. And what it says is simply this, and many of you will know this. In fact, let's just go back and read it. I want to point this out to you. It is in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, or the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, rather, and it is in verse 13, and it says this, when the Sanhedrin, doesn't say when the Sanhedrin, but it when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, the word unlearned in Greek is the word for illiterate. You think Peter and John could write? I don't think so. That's according to the Word of God here. They couldn't. You might say, well, why? They certainly wrote these letters and this Gospel of John. I'm sure they dictated those. That was the common way it was done back in those days. You had someone here who could write. You dictated the letter or the writing to them. Be that as it may, this is what the Word here says. They perceived that they were illiterate, and the word ignorant is the word we get our word idiot from. Now, they were not calling these guys idiots. The word idiot, idiotes in Greek, is simply a word that means layman, to the Greeks. They were amateurs as far as the Sanhedrin were concerned. And yet it says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw they had been with Jesus. And that is the reason for their boldness. And for what they said and the way they stood up to them. Now, once again, you think of young people. I think of Jim Elliot. Back in the early 50s, we had old Jim down at the assembly. He was here in Oklahoma City. He was studying at the Norman School of Linguistics down there, attached to Wycliffe. And he was meeting with the brethren down on 35th and South Shields, breaking bread with them. Jim Elliot was one of these kind of guys. And any of you who have ever read any of his writings or read anything that anyone has had to say about him will understand what I'm talking about. He was perhaps 26 years old, 25, 26, when he and the other four men died down in Ecuador at the hand of the Indians in the Amazon rainforest there. This man, Jim Elliot and the others too, but Jim in particular, wise beyond his years in the things of the Lord. Why? Because he spent time with the Lord. And he was the kind of guy, I remember some of the believers who knew him when he was down there at 35th and South Shields telling me, M.W. Gibbs in particular, he learned a good deal from Jim, although he was older than Jim was. And he said, you know, this young man, I remember Carlton Jones telling me, he said, the Lord really had hold of him. Now, let's look at this word of God now, and let's look at this man, Elihu, a young man. And let's see what he has to say. Says here, so these three men, these are Job's three friends that have been running off at the mouth now for chapter after chapter, ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Well, they're finally going to shut up. Okay, they're going to shut up, and yet Job is still very much in confusion and in darkness. Job doesn't know what's going on, and we get that he was righteous in his own eyes. Job saw himself as righteous. Now, Job's still in a lot of trouble. Job is at this point essentially calling himself righteous and condemning God. Now, we saw, and once again, let me take you back to the beginning of this book of Job. What came down on Job may have been something that Satan initiated, but it was done with the permission, and we have the permissive will of God here. And we never see Satan after the very opening of this book. We never see him again. And this gives me to know, and I hope all of you to know, that essentially Job is dealing with God. Now, those of you who are believers, you are saved, and you may be going through difficult, difficult times right now. Welcome to the club. There is not a believer out here who cannot identify with that. And if you've got someone out here who says, well, I never had any trouble since I got saved, I'd suggest you quit listening to that person. Because all believers go through difficult times. All of you, listen to me. You are going through what you're going through because of the Lord's dealings with you. He has a plan in it, and He has a purpose. And I would urge you. You might say, well, this is the devil doing this to me. Well, yeah, maybe. But the devil couldn't do anything to you outside the will of God, the permissive will of God. And so, when the hard times come and when you are passing through the deep waters and when difficulties come, understand, you're dealing with God. And Job here was righteous in his own eyes, He knows that he's in trouble, and he is calling himself right and thereby condemning God. I can't see it any other way. Now, we know that Job was the most righteous man on the face of the earth. God declares him as that in the very opening of this book. But that doesn't mean Job was perfect. Job does not begin to learn and understand what God is doing with him until he gets to the end of this book. And at that time, we'll see him saying, I abhor myself, and I have been talking about things I didn't know anything about. I repent. I am sorry. But right now, he's still righteous in his own eyes. Enter Elihu. Now, we're just barely scraping the surface here, and we'll take it up again next time. And this is what he said. Then was the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Oh, I like this. I like this. You had better get hold of this one. How many times when, brother, I know I've done it, and I've seen believers do it many times. You start complaining about your circumstances and everything, you had better stop and think. You are in the hands of an almighty, loving God that intends good for you. And here is Job, who is justifying himself rather than God. He is declaring himself righteous, and thereby, whether or not he realizes it, he is declaring God unrighteous. When you have what appears to be, when you are at odds with God, as Job certainly is here, you had better stop and think. God's not the one that's wrong. You are. And it is just that simple, friend. And Elihu is angry. And it says, also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Yeah, they condemned Job. What'd they condemn him for? They didn't know. They didn't know. They had no idea what they were talking about. Now, let's see what else we've got here. Now, Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. That's nice. That's nice, Elihu. Respect your elders. That's nice. But when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. Kindled at Job, because Job was talking foolishness. Kindled at these older men who should have had wisdom but demonstrated none. Ah, me. We are in for an interesting ride here. And we have, as I say, we just scratched the surface. This goes on for several chapters. Verse 6, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion. I said days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. You think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.